Thank you, Lord, for loving me, and thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. Amen. Brothers and sisters, we've got so much to be thankful for in this life. We should be very thankful for our sources of income that we can survive in this world. We should certainly be thankful for our family, our church family. We should also be very, very thankful for the church itself, which we'll be talking about. We should absolutely be thankful for the health and the physical agility that we have to be able to do what we're doing today. We should be thankful for the roof that is over our head. I don't know of any of you that slept on the ground last night unless you were just enjoying recreation, but I believe we all have a roof over our head and nobody stinks today, so I guess you were able to take a shower today, so how thankful we should be for that. And the list is endless. I mean, we are indeed blessed beyond measure. If you believe that, would you confirm that with an amen? So we are indeed blessed. And I want us today to talk about our thankfulness for the Lord, thankful for Jesus Christ himself. And I'm thankful today for our God. I am thankful that we have a creator that loves us so much that he wasn't like so many other people in our world today. Thank God we have a superior. We have a God who says, when he says, I love you, he didn't just verbally say that. What did he do? He demonstrated it, didn't he? He put that love into action. So I stand before you today telling you how thankful, and that's the word I want us to remember today, thankful. Thankful for what God has done for each and every one of us. I'm thankful for each person that is assembled here today. I'm personally thankful for the encouragement that I get. I'm thankful for the fact that you and I can help each other in life's struggles. This life is full of struggles, isn't it? It's full of difficulties and challenges and illnesses and sicknesses and death of loved ones, job issues, economic issues, social issues, and there's a plethora of things that can really bring us down. But even for the Christian today, you know, it's odd because people on the outside of the fold of safety, people on the outside of the Lord's church, if I may, sometimes they ask the question, it seems like Christians, you know, y'all got a lot of things going on, but you seem to still be possessing a smile. You seem to have a good outlook. Well, even though we may be facing adversity, even though we may have these trials and these struggles and these challenges in front of us, as a child of God, you have a reason to smile. Amen. You have a reason to rejoice, a reason to be happy. Even in adversity, we have a God that loves us. We have a God that has shown his love for us, a God that certainly does care for us. I think about Jesus and I think about God and I'm so thankful that he loved us and he put that into action. And I'm wearing you out with this, and I'll continue to wear you out with this. These two passages that I try very hard to make sure is in every single lesson. John 3:16, you remember that one, don't you? In Romans chapter 5, down in verse 8. For God so loved the world that he gave his, that whosoever believes in him should not what, but have everlasting life. That alone, that one passage of Scripture could show us and talk to us and let us know how thankful we should be for him. But I like what God did, and we are to emulate Christ. We are to act like him and to follow him. And Jesus didn't just say, or God didn't just say, I love you. He put it into action. Romans chapter 5, verse 8, the Bible says, but God demonstrated his own love toward us that while we were yet sinners, very good. Christ died for us. While we were yet sinners means while we were lost. Amen. While we were yet sinners means when we were doomed to this place called hell for eternal damnation. That's what the Bible's talking about. While we were headed to this destruction, everlasting destruction, separated from the very power of God, not being able to go to God in prayer, not being able to ask your brothers and sisters to pray for you because you are separated. You are no longer sanctified. You are glued, if I may, to the flesh and the things of the world. But oh, how thankful we are today that God demonstrated his own love toward us, that while we were headed for that place, God stepped in, didn't he? God sent his son and he intervened. And he was not going to allow Satan to have control over us unless we chose Satan. Does that make any sense? So if you are away from God today, then you have made that choice. You are choosing to walk hand in hand with Satan as opposed to walk hand in hand with Christ. I have to think about that great prophet Isaiah over in Isaiah chapter 7, down around verse 14, where he says, therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. He's talking about Jesus. He's talking about the Lord Jesus Christ coming as that sacrificial lamb, the one that took our place upon the cross. He says, the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son. The Bible says, you shall call his name, say it, congregation, Emmanuel, translated God with us. Thank you, Father, for your love. You know, it is pretty easy to see. You don't have to look real hard if you really want to see what God's love is. I don't know about you. Only you can speak for yourself, but I am proud of my God. Amen. How often do we say that? How often do we stand in front of somebody or in a conversation at work or there in your home talking to your children, your spouse, an enemy, talking to somebody and just, you know what, put your hands up and say, you know what, I'm proud of my God. I'm proud of what Jesus has done for society. I'm proud of what he has done for the whole wide world. His love is unlimited. We should be proclaiming that all of the time. But I'm proud of my God. I'm proud of the love that I get from God. It is my desire to serve him and to love Jesus with all of my heart, with all of my mind, with all of my body, with all of my soul. It is my desire. And I stand before you today telling you with a smile on my face how much I love our Heavenly Father. Why? Because we know the Bible says that he first loved us. Amen? So if you want to talk about God, and you want to talk about love, I believe there are some people in the Bible that you can talk to. You may not hear their voice audibly, but if you read the Bible, they'll carry a complete conversation with you. If you want to talk about God and you want to talk about love, ask Noah, the very one that built this ark under the instruction and the direction of God. Ask Noah how much God loves him and those and the things that went in the ark and the people that went in the ark. He will tell you. Ask the Apostle Paul just how much God loves his people. The Apostle Paul was killing Christians, wasn't he? He was persecuting the church. He was going after those that were supporting Christ. But when he fell in love with God, he fell in love with God. Why? Because he saw firsthand when he was on the road to Damascus, he saw firsthand what God's love was all about, didn't he? He saw what Jesus was all about. And he put on that breastplate of righteousness. When Ananias went to him and says, arise, the Lord has sent me here. Arise and be baptized. Quit living like you're living. Quit kicking against the goad. Get up, be baptized, and be that preacher for God. Did he do it? Absolutely. And he arose, and that boy went out on some missionary journey. Ask him how much God loves people. Ask God how much he loves people. We can think about Peter. Peter himself is the one that made a proclamation. He says, Lord, I will never deny you, because Jesus had just announced that he was going to be betrayed. He said, somebody around here is going to go against me. He says, I will never be made deny you, even if I have to what? Die. I will not do it, Bobby. I will not deny it. But when his environment changed, when he was in fear perhaps of his personal situation, did he deny the Lord? Yes, he did. Did he deny him once? Did he deny him twice? Did he deny him the third time? And then the rooster crowed. What a reminder, a bold reminder. Did Peter, though, in fact, love God? Yes, he did. I am convinced that he loved God and he loved him completely. But let that be a lesson to us. Sometimes when our environment changes, our situations changes, we get into an uncomfortable situation, make sure that we hold fast to the love of God. Because we can be easily detoured, can't we? We can be easily put on the wrong track. So make sure that no matter what goes on in this life, we keep our focus on Almighty God. We keep our focus upon Jesus Christ like Peter did. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, writers of the New Testament, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Peter, Paul, James, and Jude, those individuals, I would say if you want to talk about love of God, you think they love God? They loved him enough that they was writers. Very good, Courtney. They was writers. Those eight individuals were writers of the New Testament, wasn't they? Ask Bartholomew what he thought about the Lord. Ask Thomas, and the list is endless. Be sure to check with Timothy, too, by the way, because he was such a young evangelist. People was despising his youth, and they were saying things to him that wasn't really cool. But what did Paul tell him? He said, look, come here, Timothy. He said, you preach the word. He said, be ready in season, out of season. He said, convince them, rebuke them, exhort them. And all of these things, that's what he told him to do. He told some of those folks, he said, don't be Don't be messing with my boy here. Now, he didn't say it probably exactly like that, but he said, don't be despising him because he's young. Leave him alone. Let him do his job. Is that about right? So how thankful you and I should be that there was those individuals in our early days, Brother Jerry, that was willing to do what Jesus said. Thank God there was people, Darlene, years ago that took up and put on that breastplate of righteousness. I'm glad you had a mother and father. I'm glad you had a mom and dad that cared enough about you, or a wife or a spouse or a son or a daughter. Whoever it was that led you to Christ, thank you, God above, that we had somebody that loved us enough to share Jesus with us. Does that make any sense? Because sadly, there are people in the world today, when you talk about the Lord and you talk about the Scriptures and you talk about individuals in the Bible, they look at you totally lost because it hasn't been shared. How thankful you and I should be today for God. How thankful we should be for Jesus Christ. Let you and I take a look at just a few points today. Things that we can consider as we talk about our thankfulness for the Lord, our thankfulness for Jesus. The first point I want us to consider today, as you head over to 1 John chapter 4, I want us to talk about this. I'm thankful for the Lord, and this is going to sound like the introduction again, but I'm thankful for the Lord for His great love for you and me. Is that all right? I don't mean that He just says, I love you like I love peanut butter cookies. That's not the love that God is talking about. God loved us because we are of God. Yes or no? We are His children. Let me make sure we understand that. When people and these preachers and these teachers are talking about God loves you, and then Jerry Jr. gets up and he leads a song, Jesus loves me, this I know. Let it be more than just sound to your ears. Let it sink deeply into your heart so that you can fully understand and grab the whole concept. Grab the whole promise about how much God truly, truly loves His people. Say that with me. He loves His people, and we are His people. You heard it correctly. You and I ought to be very, very thankful to God because of His great love for you and for me. Let me say this without trying to upset anybody, but if you're upset about it, whatever. You and I deserve spiritual death. Did you know that? Because, Amy, of the way that the people before us acted. You take Adam and Eve, Brother Larry, they was in a perfect situation. They ruined it, didn't they? And sin reigns this very day. Now, thankfully, God has demonstrated His own love towards us that while we were sinners, while we're headed for hell, He sent Jesus to intervene, and He has done just that by giving His life up on that cruel cross at Calvary. But when we think about these things, well, you and I are deserving of spiritual death. We did not. How many people today have earned God's forgiveness? There, how many? Okay, we have not. Can you earn it? Can you earn God's love? Can you earn God's mercy? Do we deserve God's mercy? Why do we have it then? Because it's God's love for His children. Say that with me. It's God's love for His children. You know, we've seen many, many times in the Bible where it talks about how we are to love someone, and one would lay down his own life for who? His brother, right? Jesus Christ, the Son of Almighty God, He laid down His life. Rob said it while ago from the pulpit as he was presiding. You know, Jesus could have called legions of angels, couldn't He? He could have called a lot of folks to get Him off that cross, but He didn't. He died for you. He died for Tony Paul. He died for Jerry Ladd. He died for Courtney. He died for Chris. So make sure that we remember, and not just remember, listen to me, make sure that we celebrate God's love every day. Amen? Some of y'all are looking down real bad. I don't know if you're going to sleep or what. Okay, just make sure we're together. But I want to make sure that we are celebrating God's love, not just talking about it, not just reading about it, but brothers and sisters, do you agree that we should celebrate His love daily? All right, very good. In 1 John chapter 4, 7 through 12. I'm going to engage you in this. Will you be ready? All right. The Bible says, Beloved, let us one another, for love is of who? And everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. He who does not love does not know God. Why? And this is the love of God was manifested, that means made known toward us, that God has sent His only begotten Son into the world that you and I, that we might what? Live through who? who's him. And this is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and he sent his son to be the propitiation for our sins. He took our place. He was a substitute for us. Beloved, if God so loved us, then we ought also to do what? Y'all like that? No one has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God abides in us, and his love has been what in us? It's been perfected in us. Why? Because we are soldiers of Christ. Why? Because we are ambassadors of the Lord. What does that mean? That means that we are spokespersons for the Lord. That means that we are to emulate Christ. That means that we are to act like and to live just like Jesus Christ. Can we elevate ourselves to him? No. We'll never make it, will we? Because he is perfect. But can we strive to do that, Courtney? Can we strive to be more like Jesus Christ? Can we strive on a daily basis to celebrate God and to celebrate his love for me and you? I think we can try that all the time. Let's go back over to the book of Romans. I need your help. Is Romans in the Old or New Testament? It's in the New? Right in the middle. Okay. Romans chapter 8, 35 through 39. Romans 8, 35 through 39. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Do you see that question? Watch this. Shall it be tribulation or distress, persecution, famine, nakedness, peril, sword? As it is written, for your sake we are killed. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Look at 37. Yet in all things, all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, angels nor principalities nor powers, nor things present nor things to come, no height nor depth nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in who? Our Lord. So when we have that connection, when we are adopted into the Lord's family, brothers and sisters, God's love has been perfected in us, hasn't it? So let us make sure that we're recognizing that on a daily basis. Make sure that we are remembering this on a daily basis. Make sure that we are celebrating every single day God's great love for you and for me. Folks, it is simply amazing, and it's astonishing, if I may. It is breathtaking to consider how much God loves his people, even though we don't deserve it. I think about the great psalmist over in the book of Psalm chapter 86, down in verse 5. The Bible says, for you, Lord, are good and ready to forgive, abundant in mercy to all those who do what? Call upon you. So you see, God is there. He's waiting on us. Call upon him. He's already made the move. He's already paved the way for your salvation. He's already demonstrated his love. He's waiting on us to call upon him. And then Psalm chapter 33, down in verse 5. God's great word says, he loves righteousness and justice. The earth is, watch this, the earth is full of the goodness of the Lord. Well, let's go see what's going over in the book of 1 Chronicles. In 1 Chronicles chapter 16, down in verse 34, Dana, you liked this verse when you was a kid. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His mercy endures forever. Dana used to quote that when she was in trouble. My mom and dad, she would go out and get herself in a little trouble, and mom and dad would be just preaching up a storm to her. You know better than that. You know you shouldn't have done that. Now you get back there in that room, and Dana would say, the Lord's mercy endureth forever, this year's mom. And my mom would go, oh, you're quoting scripture. And I'd go, you're going to fall for that? And then I would get grounded because I was interfering. I'm still carrying a grudge. No, I haven't forgiven. And I will maybe. All right. And don't forget about, if you don't mind, Psalm 106:1. Oh, give thanks to the Lord. The Bible says, the reason why, for he is what? The Bible says, for he is good, for his mercy endures. And how long does it endure? Psalm 107:1. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. And his mercy, I love this, it endures forever. So listen, if you read the Word of God, some do, some don't. If you read and study the Word of God, you will quickly see that God certainly does love us. He's demonstrated it, hasn't he? All right, second point. Let's go to the second one. Only Bobby shook his head, so I was worried. Point number two, as we're talking about our thankfulness for the Lord, thanking God for Jesus Christ, I believe that we ought to be very thankful because of the gifts that God gives us. He gives us a lot of gifts, doesn't he? Spiritual gifts, physical gifts. There's a gift right here, right there at the end of the pew. But when we talk about gifts, God certainly does bless us. I hope and pray that we understand and that we know with all confidence that all good gifts and all perfect gifts, they come down from the Lord. James chapter 1, verses 16 to 17, do not be deceived, my beloved brethren. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father, the Bible says, of life, of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. That means he's not wishy-washy. Amen. God takes care of his people. We should be thanking God for that all of the time. Now, let's head over to the book of Ephesians, if you don't mind. Ephesians chapter 1. Go to 3 with me. Friends, listen. I hope we understand fully that every physical gift that we have, every spiritual gift that we're so thankful and blessed to have, is a blessing that we enjoy only because of God's goodness. Does that make sense? The only reason that we have the spiritual liberties, that word liberty means freedom. The only reason that we have the spiritual freedom that we have is because of the goodness of God, isn't it? Amen? All right. So look what the Bible says in Ephesians 1, down in verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with, give me this word, every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. But you look at the next two words, go. In Christ. You're not going to receive this outside of Christ, are you? These spiritual blessings are found in Christ. How thankful we should be. I'm thankful today for the wonderful gifts of God. I'm thankful that even after seeing this passage of Scripture, knowing that I'm a sinner, knowing that I am not deserving, brothers and sisters, of God's great gifts, but knowing that he's still going to give it. He's still going to bless me in all of these different ways because I'm striving daily to be faithfully obedient, as family was talking about, being faithfully obedient to the will of God. It's difficult sometimes. It's tough sometimes because we get so caught up in what we think we accomplished. How many times have you heard someone say, I bought this truck and I busted my hind end to make the money to pay for that? Anybody ever said that? I got this done. I got that done. I went out and I did that and I did this and I did that. Do you think that you really did it by yourself? If we think about the reality of it, well, I don't know, Brother Jerry, because I'm the one that was out there painting. I got it all done. No, you didn't. God gave you the talent to do it. He gave you the tools to use. He gave you the paint to put on the wall. And he gave you the agility, the physical agility, the physical health to be able to do just that. You did nothing on your own, nor did I. Amen. Even when it comes to our spiritual gifts, you cannot earn salvation. Salvation is given freely from the Father. But what you are to do is to be faithfully obedient. How do we get those spiritual gifts? By being obedient to God, by following him in his word, and being thankful every single day. Not just talking about it, but celebrating it, right? Say it then. Not just talking about it, but celebrating it. Okay, just wanted to make sure. Let's go to the next one. As we talk about our thankfulness for the Lord, thankfulness for Jesus Christ, we said we need to be thankful for his love and not just talk about it, but celebrate it daily. We talk about his great gifts, physical and spiritual. We could talk about that for a long time if we wanted to. But let me give you this third one real quick too. I'm convinced that we should be thankful for the Lord for the comfort that he gives to all who love him and serve him. Does that make any sense? He gives us comfort for those that love him and for those who serve him. And I appreciate that because we live in a society today that's pretty hard. Does anybody else get upset about things? Are there things in this world that no matter how tough you are, how tough you may think you are there things that can break you down and make you cry? Absolutely. So every single one of us need God. Amen. Not only because we have that place in heaven that he's promising for the faithfully obedient, but because of what Jesus gives us, what God gives us when we are facing adversity, when we are facing life's challenges. I'm telling you, I can't make it a minute without Jesus. and neither can you. So let's be certain that we celebrate Jesus. Let's be certain that we celebrate Him by talking to people and sharing Jesus with others as we celebrate the love of God. Does that make any sense? So let's talk about this real quick. I love the fact that He gives us strength. When you're heavy-hearted, where do you go today? Seriously, when you're heavy-hearted, and I'm talking about things that really weighing you down, what do? Do you talk to your spouse? That's okay. Do you talk to your children? Well, that's all right. Do you have a counselor? Well, that's all right. And all these people can be comforting to you and give you some encouragement. But if you want the real one, go to Jesus. Amen. Go to Jesus Christ because He's the one. You remember, Jared, what He told His disciples? Jesus had made an announcement. Amy, listen. He made an announcement after He had become friends with them. He said, I got to go. I know. They were ticked off. Okay, some would say, don't use that word, tick. They were upset. I'm telling you, Teresa, they were upset. They was losing the very one that already caused the blind to see, the deaf to hear, the lame to walk. Matter of fact, Larry, He even raised the dead, didn't He? So He built His relationship with them in Georgia. Now these people, these disciples, are trusting Christ. They're trusting Him a lot. And then after they finally feel, sis, listen, after they finally feel real comfortable in Jesus, what happens? He says, I got to what? These disciples, let me remind you, Abby, these disciples were very, very hurt. We've all been through things where we hurt when we lose a loved one, or a loved one leaves us, or there's division through divorce, families busting up. There's a bunch of things that can cause us to feel pain, isn't it? But I want you to think about what Jesus told His disciples in John 14:1. He says, let not your hearts be, believe in God. You're not saying that like you mean it. Believe in God. There you go. Believe also in me. Well, what does that mean? That means put your strength in me. Get your strength from me. Put your faith in me. Put your walk in me. Put your hands into my nail-scarred hands, is what Jesus is saying. That's what He's intending us to do. He will walk us through and He will give us the peace that we need. Let's drop down a few verses. Would you mind going to John 14:27? That's just 26 verses away. Let's take a look. All right, here we go. 14:27, the Bible says, peace, but beautiful, perfect. Peace I leave with you. My peace I, Jesus, give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Go ahead and finish this. Brother Bobby, listen. When we are faced with situations, and you read that passage of Scripture, what does that mean for me and you? I mean, let it go, doesn't it? That means that you and I, Ethan, are to let the Lord handle it. You're not in charge, and neither am I. Who's in charge? God is. So let Him handle it. Be thankful for God that He loves His children, us, that much. Be thankful that Jesus Christ is there as our big brother, isn't He? He's there as our father, our brother. He's there as our attorney. He's there as our mediator. He's there as our advocate. He's not an enemy. He's our advocate. He's not an adversary. He's our advocate. He's my friend. And I love Him. And you love Him. Amen? Okay. So we can go on and talk about things. We know that there's problems that come up. Death of loved ones. Maybe a child or children begin to rebel. Sickness creeps up on us. When we're just worn out in life. Does anybody get worn out in life? You know, if they tell you they don't, they're liars. And that's just all it is to it. Don't judge me, Jerry. I'm not. But if you say you don't get worn out live, you're a liar. Because this life, there's nothing easy about this society, is it? So what we have to do, again, is put our strength, put our faith in God. And the Lord tells us, you can make it. You remember what He says in Philippians 4:13? I can do. There you go. 2 Corinthians 1:2-4 talks about it. Matthew 11:28-30. The greatest invitation you'll ever receive. Jesus says, come to me, all you labor and a heavy what? And He says, and I'll give you what? Take my yoke upon you, learn from me, I'm gentle and hard, and you will find what? Rest for your, yes. So there's the invitation to come to Jesus. There's the invitation to receive the great love that you cannot earn. It's the great love that God has for you and for me if we'll just accept it. And do what He's calling us to do. That's what that's about. I love the Lord, and I know you as well. Let's conclude our lesson. As we're talking about this thankfulness for the Lord, let's close out with this. We better be thankful today for His church and that the saved are added to it. Amen. The fact that you and I are added to the very body of Jesus Christ. There is nothing any greater. Yes, there are gifts that people love to receive. Y'all know, everybody in the congregation knows, I love peanut butter cookies, and I love getting those gifts. But everybody else knows, too, that I've been wanting a helicopter, and I still don't have one yet. And Paula keeps saying, if we win a lottery, well, Jared won't let me play the lottery. I played one time, and he got on me back there. You remember that, Jared, when I first came here? He said, well, I didn't get on to you. Yes, you did. So I can't play the lottery anymore. Boy, I was trying to save for the helicopter. But even with that being said, there's a lot of things that we may want in life. There's a lot of things that we may try to bring in our life to bring that temporary happiness. Amen. Getting it? Temporary happiness. The only thing that can bring us happiness all the time is who? Is God. The only thing that'll help us is our access to God, access to His Word. We should be thankful because of the church and the fact that He adds the saved to the church. We are a body of believers. If you've ever read the Bible, study the Bible, it doesn't take long to see that the greatest institution that has ever been established is indeed the body of Christ, the Lord's church. Matthew chapter 16, verse 18, Jesus says, and I also say to you that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build, and the gates of shall not. Acts chapter 2, verse 47, and the Lord having favor with all of the people, and the Lord added to the church those that are being what? Those that are being saved. It is the church where we find salvation. When God saves us through our walk in Christ, through our calling upon the name of the Lord, for us being willing to hear His Word and listening to His Word, repenting of our sins, believing in Jesus Christ, believing in His crucifixion, believing in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, making that confession in the presence of a witness or witnesses, and then upon that confession of faith to be baptized for the forgiveness of our sins, and then to live a life conducive with what the Scripture says. Live a life according to the Bible. Amen? When we do just those things, the Lord adds us to His what? Thank you, Paula. The Lord adds us to His church. Read Galatians 6, 1 through 10 later today. So once again, thank you, Father, for being so good. Thank you, Father, for being so awesome. And thank you, God, for your church today. Amen? All right. As we close our lesson, I believe that we could go on and on discussing ways and things that we could be thankful for in the Lord's church. And I want to make sure that we say this. I am thankful for all of these things, but I am thankful today, and I've heard people say before, you know, so-and-so is my best friend. Amy's my best friend. And he's my best friend. And George is my best friend. And he and she. Jesus is our best friend, isn't he? John 15:14. I love what Jesus says, Courtney. Jesus says, you are my friend if you do what I command you to do. And then in John 14:15, if you love me, say it, keep my commandments. Do you love the Lord today? Are you thankful for Jesus Christ? Don't just talk about it, show it. Don't just every single day when we're out on the other side of those doors, you know, it's easy here, we're all in a controlled environment. Don't use bad language here. I'm not breaking the laws of the land here. I'm not saying anything that brings reproach upon the church or anything here. But what about outside? What about when I leave the building? Then the real challenge is on, isn't it? Then we're facing people in the world that could not care any less about us, could not care any less about the things about the church. Matter of fact, people make a mockery out of us because we're Christians. But what are we to do? We are to continue to show our thanks for God. How? By celebrating Jesus in all events. Amen? Now, don't do what Peter did and fall a bit to the side because our environment changed. But make sure that we stand firm, that we stand behind that cruel cross at Calvary. It was cruel for Jesus, but it was soul-saving for us, wasn't it? So let's stand behind. Let's stand at the foot of that cross and stand proud of our Jesus Christ, proud of our Heavenly Father, proclaiming His love for us and our love for Him. this morning, if you're not a Christian, I've already told you how to become one. You hear, believe, repent, confess, be baptized for the forgiveness of sins. Live for Jesus from this moment on. You'll be shocked when you become a Christian or you rededicate your life by being restored again. You'll be shocked at the number of people that you can have a very strong positive impact on. You can change a household. You can change the place you work. You can change the direction of your own life. There's just so many great things that can happen. Today, if you are a Christian, but you've wandered from the fold of safety, not really where you need to be with Christ, let us pray with you for you, help you, and encourage you any way that we can. If you have a need, you're welcome to come right now together.